that I might pull. Go ahead and go to Genesis 11. But we've been talking about discipleship. I'm going to catch you up very quickly. I want you to know this, too, about the series that Christine and I are doing. We are digging this out. And my wife is, I'm just going to brag on her for a second. She's the greatest person in the world to me. In every aspect, she's the greatest person in the world. And she is, she didn't ask that I do this, but I told her, I said, I got this Sunday because we've been doing this together, but I wanted to give her a break and just kind of take this week and give you a pastoral message, because we've been giving you a whole lot of teaching, and I'm going to give you some how-to, what disciple means. What does that look like now? As we learn these things, we don't want to just learn things and then not apply them to our lives, do we? We want to be applying these things to our lives. And I'm going to give you several scriptures that will pull it together and it will make sense to you. But just a little bit from last week, the discipleship series. Don't say that five times fast. The series that we've been talking about, it's been out of the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, was about your life and what goes on in a typical person's life. And Jesus really masterfully broke that sermon down. And at the end, he gives an open book test, in essence, when he's saying, now these are the things, and do this. So here's the way out. I am the way. Do this. Come through me. And at the end, he said, if you'll take all of my teachings, all these words that I've just given you, if you'll take these words and obey them, I'll liken you unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. And if you don't take these words that I've given you, what he's saying is that you've all heard it, and now you have a choice. The open book test says, here's the answer for you, but you still got a choice. But if you'll do it, you will build a house like a man who built his house on a rock. And if you don't do it, you will be like a man that built his house. The only difference, it'll be on sand. And storms will come to the one that built the house on the rock, and storms will come to the one who built the house on the sand. Same storms. He described it like this. Rain will come, floods will come, wind will come. The one that built the house on the rock, that house will stand. The one that built the house on the sand, that house will crumble, fall, and great will be the destruction of it. And he's telling you these things. And he said, if you want to do it right, you can do it right. If you hear my words and do my words. But if you just hear my words and don't do them, destruction awaits. You'll find that from the beginning of time. You'll find that with Cain and Abel. Cain, why are you looking so downcast? What's going on with you, Cain? It's about the sacrifices, Cain. And if you'll do what's right, I'll receive you. But if you don't do what's right, Cain, sin's crouching at your door. Did he not tell him? Did he not warn us? So he's given us the same warning. And this was the warning that I gave you out of that, is that as Christians, sometimes when the rain comes and the flood comes and the wind comes, because he said it was coming, we find ourselves praying against the rain, praying against the flood, praying against the wind. But all those things really are is proof of the foundation. You don't find yourself praying against the proof. Find yourself lining up and build. This is the whole thing. You build your house with the future in mind. That's what he's saying. I'm telling you these things are coming. So don't be surprised when they come. Christians, sometimes we amaze me. Sometimes I amaze me. I pray for God. God, send the rain. God, send the rain. And then dark clouds come around. I'm like, God, what's up? You can't have both. It is a strange thing. Every now and again, it rains and the sun's shining brightly. You know what you don't see is the cloud that's behind you. It's always a cloud. There's always a cloud when there's rain. So that catches us up to where we were. So Jesus has done all of these teachings, and he's telling us, it's your future. Build with that future in mind. In essence, he's saying, you have the ability to take part in your own destiny. Someone awakened my mind to that. As we moved to Fort Mill in 2005, I was getting ready to start something whole new. I was leaving 37 years of being raised up in a denomination that I still love and I'm still grateful for and thankful for. It's my heritage. But I was leaving all that in my own accord. I was leaving all of that. And I did not know how sharply the cord had been cut. But it caused me to really trust in Him. And it caused me to get my eyes on Him. And someone said something to me. The man by Dr. Paul Gehring, he said, you have the ability to take part in your destiny. That lines up with His word. You've got to. Do you realize that right now? Every one of you. The very fact that you're here this morning, you're taking part in your destiny. There's a rock close to you right now. His name is Jesus Christ, and you're building on it. And I believe that, and I'm grateful for that. So I want to take you way back in time. I told you that we're going to get to Genesis, but I want to talk about what discipleship looks like now. Now that we've come through the Sermon on the Mount, and that we're learning these things that it's our life, and we can take part in the destiny of our life. We can secure what our ending point is going to be through Jesus. Now that how do I do that? What are the steps that I'm going to take? And how could the enemy fool me if I'm not careful? You remember about watching and with our eyes? I mean, Scripture does say we walk by faith, not by sight. So we should be able to walk like this and get where we're going with our eyes closed. Physical eyes closed, not fumbling in our spiritual walk, not always falling in our, not always stumbling in our spiritual walk. I just had knee surgery. I'm very guarded. I'm getting around. A lot of you have commented. I'm getting around better. But believe me, there's some certain places right now where I'm being very guarded. Why? I don't want to repeat this thing again. Insurance takes too long to approve some things. Yeah. They got to approve every Band-Aid, it feels like. But it took 3 months to get to this point to get the surgery. It's been a month since surgery. I don't want to repeat this again, so I'm being very careful and being very guarded. And we're supposed to guard our Christian walk. We're supposed to guard our hearts and our minds and so that we can arrive at that place that we believe through Jesus is prepared for us. So He's given us these words right now. Now how do I get there? So it's going to be about following Him. Discipleship's going to be about following Him. There was a time in history where God had to give the people judges, and then God gave people kings. And He allowed those things to be in place because Jesus was going to come and fill those places that they couldn't fill. But He had to let us see that even though we've got these things that are in place, they're not going to work. And there's an order that it takes to follow Him. And that we've got to be under the King who has the power of judgment. And His name is Jesus, right? There's a scripture at the very end of Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It's the last scripture of the whole book of Judges. And it says this. It's a very interesting scripture. In those days there was no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Did you know your Bible said that? That is a wow scripture. I think, Tammy, you said wow. It is a wow scripture because those days are like these days. It just reminds me. I don't have to think. Now, Gee whiz, I wonder what he was thinking about. That's very relevant right now. You're going to find his word is always going to be relevant because it's always going to be alive. His word is always going to be alive. So in those days, there was no king, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. You know, there's two scriptures in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16. They say the same thing. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end of that way is death. There's a king that we have to be under. His name is. And Jesus said, follow me. It was a simple call. It was a simple call. I had followed, and I almost like save it like a dainty morsel. In my case, a little Debbie. I've saved it like the last one in the package. That show called The Chosen, I'm digging that. I'm digging that. I love it. I'm so thankful that Jesus TV is not cheesy as it used to be. It used to be. Good night. Serve it with crackers and something because it is cheesy. But what they've got, but I love what goes into that, and that Jesus simply called them by saying, follow me. And they did it. And they did it. Some things have to be laid out. Some things are reached through contract and agreement and fine print. And Jesus says, follow me. All the fine print is in me. I got you so covered. If you'll just answer the call. I got you so covered. I got you so. And those of you that have been serving the Lord a while now, can you say amen to that? I got you. I've got you covered. Genesis chapter 11. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and I'm going to talk about uniformity. And in a minute, I'm going to talk about being unified, and I'm going to talk about unity. All of those things, but I don't want you to be misled. I don't want you to get off on the wrong step. Uniformity. There's a great scripture passage that will tie you into that and see the danger of uniformity. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. The word speech is actually translated to lip. One lip. They were saying the same thing. They had the same language. And they were using that language to say the same thing. And it's going to tell us what they were saying. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. What did the first scripture say? They're of one language and they've got one lip. They're of one language, they got one lip. And the Lord said, I see it. Indeed, the people are one. And they have one language. They all have one language. And this is what they begin to do now. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and they're confused their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel. That word Babel means confusion. Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. There's an incredible principle right here. They had one language. They were saying one thing. They were all in agreement, and God looked at that and said, it's powerful. You know why? Because it follows His principle. But what was wrong with the whole thing? It was their motive. You can have the right principle and the wrong motive. If you've got the right principle, there's power behind that. You see that all the time. If you look at successful people and tear down what they're doing, a lot of them are doing his principles, but they're doing it for their own gain. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that. But that shows you that there is power in God. There's power in that coming together. To be a disciple of Christ is to come together with Christ as you follow him. That's really one of the definitions. It's a coming together of you into him. Your will becomes his will. Your desire becomes his desire. It is an exchange that takes place, but you've got to come together, and then you've got to stay together. So what he's saying right here is that there was a powerful principle that was going on. You see that? We saw that worked yesterday. We had, there were certain times that we had, what is that? Not a conveyor belt, conveyor line. What were I looking for? Yeah, y'all good. An assembly line. I used to work in a factory. I knew what an assembly line was. And we got that thing going like that. And it would go perfectly until someone held it up. And when they held it up, we had to find out, are you holding it up for a good reason? Because we got to keep this thing going. We got to keep this thing going. When I worked on the assembly line, I had the ability to hit the stop button. A matter of fact, I was supposed to hit the stop button if I saw something go wrong. But if nothing was going wrong, I wasn't supposed to hit the stop button. So God, in essence, hit the stop button right here. And he caused confusion to come onto them because what they had going would have succeeded, is what he said. There's one translation that says nothing they did would be impossible to them at this point. Do you see the power that's behind that? But God stopped it. Why? Because they were doing it unto them instead of doing it unto him. Let us move on. Uniformity, Tower of Babel. God doesn't want us just to come together and look exactly alike and do exactly the same thing and be robots. Everybody that showed up yesterday came from different parts of York County or surrounding county, but they came into alignment with the vision that had been set forth to help, and we got an amazing amount of work done, right? A lot of sweat equity. So I want you to move to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read a scripture right there. Instead of uniformity, I would submit to you, he would rather us be unified than be uniform. Unified. Because this is what unified looks like. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were together with one purpose. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues or cloven tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All I want you to see out of that is that they were unified. They were in a place of obedience. Jesus had already told them right before he left. He said, go here and wait for me, and I'm going to send a comforter to you. His name is the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to send him to you. And when you get together in that place, it'll happen. It never happened before. The people that looked at it, they labeled it as people do, but those that are there on purpose, those people that were coming, they were unified. God did something powerful, and it ended up shaking the whole world and turning it upside down. And we were introduced to a guide, a comforter, a power that goes beyond anything that we've ever known. Because we were unified. Do you see that? Okay, so I want to move from that to unity. Psalm 133. Very powerful scripture right here. Matter of fact, most of these I've preached at different points, but I really believe that going forward in the knowledge that we've gained with what it looks like to be a disciple of Christ, that action of following him and submitting to him and obeying him looks the same in the yes, Lord, in the yes, I will. Now, what he does with that is going to branch out into powerful things. I was talking to my brother this morning about how outside of the church, God does powerful things. Are you ready for God to do things powerfully outside of the church? I'm ready to see him do things powerfully inside the church. But I want to see him do things powerfully outside of the church that prove, again, the foundation of the rock, Jesus Christ. That at any time, the being instant in season and out of season, at any time, God could use you. What does that look like to you? Be ready to be used. Be ready to be used. Look eager to God. Be ready. Be ready to be put onto the field for the Lord. So, a psalm of unity, Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." How good and pleasant it is. It draws a comparison, and the comparison is not really spoken about right here, but it does say that it's good and pleasant when, which means doesn't happen all the time. Right? Has anybody known enough about church to understand that good and pleasant and dwelling together in unity doesn't always occur? Need I go further? Some of y'all are like, testimony. Yeah, heavy on the E. But he says, look, behold. That means, look at this. How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. In other words, I hold what's important in your life as important what's going on for you as I do for myself. I'm looking out for you and you're looking out for me. And I know that that's going on. And see, even right there, that's not always the most common way it happens, is it? As humans, that's something that we've got to break past, because the first thing that I need to think of is me as a human being. Me, mine, my wife, my kids, my family. We got enough. And God, if you'll give us enough, and then God, if you'll give us more, then we'll have overflow. Then we can look at our brother. And that's really not so much what he's talking about right here. Amen's got really diminished right there. And then he draws the comparison. It's like the precious oil upon the head. The anointing oil, the precious oil, the anointing oil from the high priest. They knew exactly what he's talking about. When the high priest would anoint, he would anoint the head. And they didn't do like we, I keep on standby right here. Lord have mercy, got dust on it. Whew, we preached a good one this morning, Pastor. You should have thought that one out. That's enough for all of us, right? Because we don't want to walk out of here oily, do we? We don't want to walk out of here greasy. We don't look like the greased pig at the county fair, do we? You know when they anointed in the Old Testament? See, this is what made sense about this picture. They anointed with what they called a horn of oil. And it was a horn that was closed on one end, and it was full of oil. It was full of oil, and they would take that oil and they would pour it over the head. And they would pour the whole contents out, and it would come down the head to the beard, to the robe, to the hem of the garment. And he's drawing that likeness right here. He said, this is what unity looks like. And this is what I want you to see. This is what discipleship looks like. It's from the head down, coverage. Say that word, coverage. Coverage for everyone. No gaps. The holy, precious anointing oil had this characteristic about it that you couldn't copy it without penalty. No one was to make this oil without penalty unless you made it as unto the Lord in the prescribed way that he had set forth. So it was powerfully symbolic because there was no other oil like this oil. And the thing about this oil is that it had the same power at the head that it had at the hem. It did not lose its power, but it only flowed one way down. And that's the way that God has set up order. And he was showing them something new. As a matter of fact, he was about to hit them up with something very new because Moses had been the man, but Moses was dead. And God was getting ready to give them a type and shadow of the New Testament. And he was about to take Joshua and make him be over the people. But he said, this is the way we're going to get it done now. Joshua, I'm going to command you. You're going to command officers. Officers are going to command the people. The head, the beard, the robe. You see that? So that everybody will be covered. So that everyone, and this was a new thing. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, get ready. I'm going to command you. You're going to command the officers. The officers are going to command the people. That way, everyone gets covered. There was this thing back in those days that was called, you had a king and you had a herald. A herald was someone that proclaimed whatever the king said, the herald said it just like the king said it. So much so that if you heard it from a distance, the herald practiced so much imitating and sounding like the king. It sounded like the king. It's like his inflection points were the same as the king. So that what you heard, all you had to know is, if I hear it, that's my king that said it. What I'm doing this morning, when I read his word, I'm just heralding what he says. So that when you recognize, you don't think that Pastor John is Jesus by any means, but you recognize the words that Pastor John is saying came from him. So if I herald it, and if I live in such a way that looks like the king, it's going to be easy for you to accept, right? That's the whole thing that he had put on them. And then he says this. He says, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments, so that the whole body is covered. The whole body of Christ is covered by the anointing of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Then he gives another comparison. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. What is like the dew? Unity is like the dew. He's saying that when unity occurs, it's not going to complete until it touches everybody. Unity means all. Unity does not mean most. Unity means everyone. Every one of you. Not missing one. Not one left behind. Not one missed out. Unity. And that's what he said. He said, it's like dew. Have you ever left anything out in the dew? What happened to it? Got wet. Why? Because it's dew. That's what dew does. Right? Uh-huh, y'all thinking. I know the crowd I'm dealing with. It's a rough crowd right here, y'all. But the point is that unity is for all of us. And when he marks it unity, that's because it touched all of us. And that's why he says these teachings that I give you, they're for all of you. They're inclusive. But they're only powerful if they line up with my word. If they bring glory to me. That's why I wanted to pray that early this morning over each one of us. God, help them to fall passionately in love with you. Passionately in love with you. Someone told me a story about Oral Roberts that had an incredible privilege to be with him before he died. And he prayed over him and he anointed him with oil. And he prayed over him and he said, I've learned this in the Crusades of healing when there have been great masses of people. He said, I'm not going to pray long over anybody. Because if I have to pray long over people, that's saying I don't have a full understanding of my God's ability. He can do it like that. Me forming the words is actually cutting into his time. Already done. It's already done. Catching up to what's already done. That's the difference in the spiritual and the natural. And Oral Roberts said this. He said, I'm not going to pray long. And then he said this. He said, that work's already been done. Said, what they're going to see is the second of prayer of agreeing of, God, you've done this. But he said, I've spent the time back here that nobody saw. That lines up with Scripture. There the commanded blessing, life forevermore. Unity reminds God of his blessing. Unity reminds God of what he's got in store for us. There is a place called heaven. We are headed there. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. I look forward to it. I think about it. My mind goes there. When I see things happen down here that I don't understand, my mind goes there. But while I'm here, Romans 15, verse 5 and 6. I just pulled this out of the NLT because I wanted you, I like the way it read. It says this, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other. Unity, harmony. That means different notes coming together to make one beautiful chord. One beautiful chord. If Josh or Christine were up here and we were trying to worship, get ready. Actually, that last part sounded pretty cool. I'll admit it. I didn't know I had it in me. But if we just put a pretty face on church and act like it's in harmony, but it's not, and that stuff right there is really going on, you're not really worshiping when you come here. You're striving. You're having a hard time. You're pushing through. That's not God's will. You're getting ripped off. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement as we are becoming his disciples, as we are engaging with him, as we are drawing near to him, as we are following him, may he help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. In other words, this is what makes sense. Then all of you can join together with one voice. You see, we're back to the principle again. You see that? Now we're back to the principle with his blessing on it. Because we're coming into a place, not that we're like robotic, but we're unified. We're different, but we're unified now. And we're not different just saying that I can do anything I want to and then when we get together we come into one. No. We come into alignment with his word. And that's what draws us together and separates us. And that's what allows this to happen. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that that's where power's going to be at? Can I tell you that that's when we start answering the prayer with our actions on earth as it is in heaven? Can I tell you that that's when the reflection takes place? When we start looking down here like what's going on up there, it's when we've done that. When we come together under His voice. Does that make sense to you this morning? Please say yes. Please say yes, I'm getting it. This whole series is about us getting it. It's about no one left behind. It's about us going from here to there. Wherever we've been, aren't you thankful that somebody came up with the word from? Because I can go from that. Because we've all got a from that, right? We're not going to try to fool each other and act like we all just been perfect all of our lives, are we? We're not going to tell that lie, are we? I'm thankful that there is a from place for John Morgan. And that there's a to place for John Morgan. And that I can get there and we can all get there together. Isn't that what it's really about? Unity. How good and how pleasant it is when the family of God dwells together in unity. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing powerful things. I'm seeing things take shape. I've been able to be a part. Josh, you can, if you come, thanks. I've been on staff of where thousands attended, and I've pastored Christ Fellowship. But I see pillars forming. You know, when you dig a foundation, you can tell how high the building will go by how deep you dig the footers. And I see God digging a lot of footers. I see God digging out deep places. And some of you are deeper than you realized you would go. Just because of the yeses that you said to God. Yes, Lord, I'll obey. An easy time to say yes is right now. But I know in His Word it talked about two sons. There was work to do and the father called on both sons. And one said, I won't. And the other said, I will. But guess what? When it came time for the work to be done, the one that said, I will, didn't. And the one that said, I won't, did. There's hope for us. We might have got it messed up before. But from there to here is what we're doing. We're following Him. We're following Him. Next Sunday, we've already done a lot of digging towards next Sunday, but we're going to be talking about the cost of this. Because the Bible says there's a cost. There's a cost in everything you do. Who doesn't consider the cost? You go to the grocery store. Am I going to have enough money to pay for this? You're building your future. And He says there's a cost to it. We're going to talk about that this week. But I wanted to take a minute and celebrate the unity that I see. Celebrate the power that I see of us coming together and everybody lining up on the correct side of the rope and pulling together. It is amazing what we can do when we pull together. The Bible speaks about an anointing of multiplication. It says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 2,000. No, that's not what it says. In one connection, it's multiplied 10 times. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So I didn't do great in math, but I can tell you that the next one should multiply that by 10. And all of a sudden, it's astronomical. And as you follow in line with that, don't you see it? Don't you feel that? Don't you see that there's more for us? And if we'll just simply line up and be obedient, we're going to be powerful for Him. what he's saying, it don't take many. Look back in the scriptures. I'm through preaching almost, but I'm feeling this thing so much that he took, when the men got to be so many, tens of thousands, they were getting ready to go into war, he looked at the crowd and said, too many. Trim it down. He looked at it and said, still not enough. Trim it down. We got to get this thing down from tens of thousands to just a few hundred. Otherwise, they'll think that men did it. And they got to see that I did it and I used men, a few. God, that's powerful. But it makes sense. See, the number that he got it down to, when you take his math of this one times 10, times 10, times 10, times 10, it doesn't take but a few, and you've already superseded that big crowd that you had already, because now you've got God, a number that no one can count. I'm telling you, moving forward in the season and the culture that we're in, you're going to have to get the spiritual eyes open to see past all of this, to see that he that is for us is greater, 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 greater. You think some people weren't afraid? Yeah, they were afraid, but they were able to get over that hurdle. Why? Look, look. Elijah took the servant and said, look, 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 you're just not seeing it. I need to preach that again. You're not seeing it. When you see it, you're alarmed. You're yelling. You're going nuts right now, but you don't see it. But when you see it, you'll settle down and you'll understand. We're not in trouble at all. We're not in trouble at all. Holding on to him. Holding on to him. Following him, coming into alignment with him. I believe we've passed some hurdles these last couple of years. I believe we're ready to move forward. I believe God's going to show us what this foundation means, what these footings have meant, what he's getting ready to build, what he's getting ready to do, and how he's going to use you. That's why we're asking all hands on deck. All hands on deck. Everybody unified. Everybody together. One unit moving forward for him. What's it look like? Oh man, I'm getting excited thinking about it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that it's true, Lord. It is amazing and it is wonderful, yet it is not too good to be true. It's an amazing story, but it's not too good to be true. And it includes us, and we're grateful for it. Thank you for it, Lord. We want it to be applied to our lives. We don't want to just hear about it today. We want to do it, Lord. I want to do it. I want to do your word. I want the peace that comes with that. I want the security that comes with that. Let me start with following you and saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Even with my eyes closed, I see it, Lord. My spiritual eyes see it. I'm going to be standing at the ready to say yes to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. My word for you this morning is